Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
This week has been school report week in our house. Do you remember yours? Do you want to remember yours? I was always keen to get my school report. I was curious of what the teachers thought of me. I'm quite sure for the teaching staff in our congregation, writing reports is one of those difficult tasks that comes every year. Finding the right word in some cases, I'm sure, is quite a challenge. Well, here's a few where the teachers have been quite creative with their comments. These are some comments from children's school reports. First one, the improvement in his handwriting has revealed his inability to spell. Next one, given the job and he will finish the tools. Hobbs has useful speed when he runs in the right direction. French is a foreign language to Fowler. Would be lazy but for absence. The tropical forests are safe when John enters the woodwork room, for his projects are small and the progress is slow. For this pupil, all ages are dark. He has an overdeveloped unawareness. This boy does not need an RE teacher, he needs a missionary. It's quite interesting when you think of reports down the line. Some of the most well-known people actually got diabolical reports, or reports that just counteracted what they would go on to find in life. Here's a few of them. Stephen has glaring faults, and they have certainly glared at us this term. That's from Stephen Fry. The next one. Jillia set herself extremely low standard, which she has failed to maintain. Next one. Is a constant trouble to everybody, and is always in some scrape or other. He cannot be trusted to behave himself anywhere. That was young Winston. Certainly on the road to failure, hopeless, rather a clown in class, wasting other people's time. This next one amused me. He must devote less of his time to sport if he wants to be a success. You can't make a living out of football. What did the BBC announce his salary as this week? It would seem that Bryce thinks he's running the school and not me. If this attitude persists, one of us will have to leave. He will either go to prison or become a millionaire. Thankfully for him, he became the latter. He will never amount to anything. A persistent muddle of vocabulary, negligible sentences, malconstructed. He reminds me of a camel. Roald Dahl. You know, the school reports I remember provided not only factual information about how I'd got on in certain subjects, they offered a character assessment too. And what did they become? They became letters of commendation, or in some cases letters of condemnation, depending what the comments were. At the time of Paul's writing to Corinth, it was the custom in those days to have letters of commendation be sent with a person as they travelled or as they were introduced to new communities. So if you were going to a strange area, a friend of yours or somebody that knew you in that area would write a letter of commendation to introduce you to that new community, to testify to your character. You carry it in your pocket and you produce it as if to say, hey, I'm a good guy. This is what people have said about me. Unfortunately, in most cases, they weren't worth the paper they were written on. As an example, Paul himself uses this letter of commendation. When he was writing to the church at Rome, he did this little paragraph of commendation for Phoebe. He said this in Romans chapter 6, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me." Now, this was the kind of document that people would carry around, this letter of commendation. Paul had visited Corinth, as you know, as part of his second missionary journey that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles. He'd established a church there. He'd written them a number of letters, of which two we have in the New Testament canon of Scripture. Paul's first letter to Corinth was very much written to deal with division. It was focusing on the character of the church. It was written to instruct them in matters concerning the well-being of the church. It was written to sort out problems with behaviour. It was written to help them combat the pagan influences that they were finding were infiltrating their church. It was a practical kind of letter. But unfortunately, they didn't listen to his advice, and so he had to visit them again. It wasn't the best of times, that second visit. And so as he left, he promised that he'd be back again to help them even further. But unfortunately, on two occasions, Paul pulls out of visiting them for a third time. And so as a result, there in the church in Corinth, his integrity comes under attack. His authority comes under attack. They start to say, oh, he's just like all the other preachers. He's just peddling this stuff for money. He's not really interested. And so instead, he writes this letter, 2 Corinthians, that we have here in the New Testament. And it's very different from that first letter. If the first letter was practical, this second letter is very personal. It's very heartfelt. It's written with great sincerity. It's written with a great degree of transparency. And he was at pains to remind them in this second letter, listen, don't forget how I was with you when I was with you before. How did I behave when I was with you? How did I live my life when I was with you before? Did I live it like one of these bogus preachers? Did I live it as though I was just trying to make money out of you? Or did I live with a degree of credibility? Did my ministry result in something? And so having reminded them of his behaviour, he asks them this rhetorical question at the beginning of chapter 3 that we read. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? He's saying, folks, are you really wanting me to prove the authenticity of who I am? Are you wanting me to send letters of recommendation confirming my character? Is that really what you're wanting? Well, the Corinthian believers knew this man intimately. And the only letter of recommendation that they required, or that he required, was already written on their heart. He says this, "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry." Their very existence as a church, their individual conversions in response to Paul's preaching, was all the commendation that Paul needed or wanted concerning his apostleship. He didn't want a certificate on the wall. They were his proof of the genuineness of his apostleship. They could see the fruit of Paul's labour, and surely that would leave them in no doubt. He was an apostle sent to them by God. You know, this is a marvellous little illustration. And whenever we read 2 Corinthians 2 or 3, we often talk about the fragrance, the aroma of Christ. And we overlook this little illustration here in chapter 3. You are a letter from Christ. You are a letter from Christ. You are a letter from Christ. To think that in our very being, we are walking letters. Human letters. I'm a blank piece of paper on which God writes. Did you know that 200 years ago, the average person in England wrote only 3 letters per year? 3 letters per year. And that was for very good reason. You see, in those days, letters were mailed without any cover at all and could be read by anybody. You just wrote your letter, you stuck it in the letterbox, and as it was being delivered, the postman could read everything that you'd written. He could have a little nosy with the neighbour before he read it, or before he delivered it, and shared it with them. Until one day, a gentleman by the name of William Mulready had the idea to ensure privacy, the envelope. Because on a visit to France, he noticed that in France, messages from important people were enclosed in this little paper case. And they were sealed with a little bit of wax on the back. And so they were impervious to the peering eyes of the curious. I can't imagine how many letters we would write if we didn't know that they were going in envelopes. You see, many aspects of our lives are private affairs. And these issues are between God and us. We don't broadcast them or reveal them to all and sundry. However, our behaviour, our mannerisms, our attitudes are not private. They're open letters that anybody can read. We can't stick them in envelopes to ensure privacy. And instead, these essential elements of our lives, the way in which we live, is open to the peering eyes of the curious. Strangely enough, you know, God intends for a number of things in our lives to be private. Yet, he also intends the other things people see. You are a letter from Christ. It's as if we have this piece of paper that's attached to our very being. And it says on that piece of paper, "Dear world, let me introduce myself. I'm the Almighty Lord. You can't see me because I'm spirit and I don't have a physical body in this world. Therefore, to help me, attached to my letter is Adrian. I've made him in my image. And because he knows me, and it's his privilege to become just like me, holy, righteous, patient, kind, loving, giving. And so, if you have a look at him, and read him, then you'll discover me." This is the letter from the Almighty. You know, if we're going to be living letters from God for all to see, then the content of these letters has to be important. You are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, Paul goes on, but with the Spirit of the living God. I was always taught that a good letter needs 4 things. And these are the 4 things. A good introduction to grab attention. A nice welcome to ease anxiety and encourage warmth. A main point to give it purpose and meaning. And a tidy summary or conclusion to leave the reader clear in mind and content and happy. We had a letter the other day from the Highways Agency. Came through our letterbox. Even had my address on there. I thought, what on earth is all this about? And I opened it up. It's a double A4 page letter. And it takes 2 sides of A4 to tell me that the closing junction 6 and 7 for 3 nights next week or the week after, and so I won't be able to get onto the M6 motorway. Now, I've told you the content of the letter in one sentence. It took them two sides. They've told me how they're going to do it, what they're doing it with, that they're replacing the cat's eyes with this new highfalutin. I got to the end of this letter and I thought to myself, what on earth is all that about? When actually all it's telling me is the closing junction 6 and 7 for 3 nights. There's nothing worse than a letter when you read it and you get to the end of it, you put the piece of paper down and you think, what on earth was all that about? I think if we're going to be letters from Christ, we too need to have all these attributes that are there. We need to be people who are able to get the attention of others. We need to be people who are able to ease anxiety and encourage warmth. We are going to have to be people who have purpose, who have meaning, and that it's clear to see that it's not two sides of just meaningless drivel. But we are going to have to as well have a tidy summary that lets people know what we are about and what our intentions are and how we want to live. You know, the amount of times I write letters and I end up scrunching them up because I'm not happy with the one I've just written. And many times when I look at myself and I read this letter that I portray, this living letter from God that I am to the world, I instantly know it doesn't read well. And the desire to screw it up again and start afresh is great. And so I grab the pen, I put it in my hand and I want to start to write. I want to start to write a better letter for Christ. And then I have to stop myself because that's where I go back. I go wrong. Go back to that statement. What did Paul go on to say? You are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You know, at times, I make the mistake of thinking I'm the author. I'm the one who does the writing. And I'm not. The person we should aim to be is of God's making, not ours. The kind of letter we're going to portray is through the Spirit's influence in our life, not because we've decided this is how we're going to be. What's the Spirit of God writing in your letter? Are you giving the Spirit of God the chance to write anything? One of the saddest things I ever had to do as an army officer was visit one of my corps members who'd been fleeced by one of these scam letters. She's had one of these letters. It sounds so convincing. She responded to it and it took loads of money from her. And do you know what? The crafty criminals obviously share the data, because then she was inundated by loads of these scam letters. And we couldn't get them stopped. Nobody likes scam letters because they're just not true. And I think in these letters, these living letters that we are asked to produce by God, if we're going to be living letters for Christ, there has to be that degree of honesty about our living as well. We can't be scam letters. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to speak about our lives with honesty, that means we speak about the difficult parts of faith too. I've been reading or watching a fascinating documentary recently. You can watch it on the internet, and I encourage anybody to read it, called Leaving My Father's Faith. And it tells the story of Bart Campolo and Tony Campolo. You'll all know Tony Campolo. Great evangelist, chaplain, personal chaplain to presidents of the United States. His son Bart was part of his ministry. But Bart, one day after a bike accident, just suddenly said, don't believe in God anymore. Just just don't believe there's a God. And in this documentary, the two of them are put side by side where they talk about him leaving his father's faith. It's a documentary where dad talks to son. And at times, Tony Campolo, the senior, he appears deeply troubled by the path his son has taken. But towards the end of the film, even the older Campolo speaks candidly of his own journey. And he says this: to say that doubts do not intersperse themselves in the midst of my faith is to lie to you. The winds of doubt flow. In the letter that we write, that we present to the world, honesty is important. Let's speak about our doubts. Let's speak about the things we don't understand. Let's speak about the confusion. Let's speak about our failings. Let's speak about who we are and how we're journeying on this journey of faith. Let's not portray something we're not. Because you know what? I think more people respond to honesty than they do to that kind of false representation of who we are. You are a letter from Christ. It's a simple little illustration. Paul was saying to the Corinthians, listen guys, you don't need a letter of condemnation from me. You are my letter. The way you have been transformed, the way you're living out, you are my letter. Today, I say to you, and I say to me, you are a letter from Christ. What does that letter look like? And what is the Spirit of God writing in that letter in you today? As we come to the end of our meeting this morning, let's just reflect on that. Let's just think on that simple little illustration, because that's what it is. A simple yet profound little illustration. And what a message he was giving to the Corinthians, though, as he said it. You are a letter from Christ. What does your letter say? What does it look like? What's the tone of it? What's the Spirit of God writing? What would you want the Spirit of God to be writing instead if you don't like the letter and you want to scrunch it up? I'm going to use a little song that's in our songbook that talks about this whole idea of Christ being in us. A song that's very familiar with us that says, Christ of glory, Prince of peace, let thy life in mine increase. You are a letter from Christ. How is that letter revealing the life of Christ in you? Though I live, may it be shown, 'tis thy life, not my own. Dwell within that men may see Christ, the living Christ in me. Friends, this morning, how's your letter? How's your letter? You know, it may be that you want to scrunch a little bit of it up. Well, if you do, do it. But don't take the pen and think you're doing the writing. Let the author do the writing. Let the Spirit of God do the writing as to what that letter should look like. How's the letter? How's the letter? And if it helps you this morning in these quiet moments, just come, reflect. Put your hands in the one who can write the letter properly. Who can write the kind of letter that you want to see. And come. And let him do the writing. Let's sing together, Christ of glory. Christ of glory, Prince of peace.
Thank you.
such a simple little illustration, isn't it? You are Christ's letters. I'm quite challenged by it. I think I'm challenged by it because over the years, I've seen some pretty lousy letters. As I've been around the Christian church, I've seen some pretty lousy letters. And I'm very conscious that at times I've been a lousy letter myself. And actually, that's not what I want to be. I want to be a great letter that's welcoming, that's attractive, that's got purpose, that's got meaning. And so I say to the Lord this morning, Lord, just help me. Help me be that letter for you that's written by the Spirit that is attractive, that's honest as well. But that is commending of you. How's the content of your letter? What does the letter look like? And what's the Spirit of God wanting to write? Let's pick up the first verse again. That simple little verse. And then after we've sung, our meeting will be open for prayer. Christ of glory, Prince of peace. Christ of glory. Our mercy seat. We think of ourselves where we are.
You are Christ's letters, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of God. What's God wanting to write today? Someone lead us in prayer just now.
Forgiveness, your encouragement, your help and your blessing. Continue with us, we pray, not only just in this moment, but in the coming week, that we may be able and willing to always seek you and always seek your blessing. Amen.
That beautiful chorus that we're all very familiar with, that John's playing, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mould me. Perhaps it shouldn't say fill me, perhaps it should say write me. Write me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And as we consider this idea of us being God's letters, let's place ourselves back in the hands of the author, in the hands of the writer. I don't want to carry on keeping the meeting open for much longer, but we're going to sing together to help us at this time of quietness. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, together. God, we just want to say to you this morning, we thank you for the simplicity of the word. There are times when we read scripture and it becomes almost complicated, that we struggle to understand it. We don't always see it in context. And yet today,
having seen the context for such a simple little illustration. Wow, it doesn't need much expanding. You are Christ's letters, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of God. And Father God, today we're very conscious of the need to live out our faith, but to do it in such a way that's honest, to do it in such a way that's genuine and authentic and real. Lord, we are sorry for the times that we do fail, when we do want to scrunch up the letter. But we thank you, Lord, that you allow us to start writing again. And we ask that today, in these quiet moments, that is exactly what you'll do, that you'll write afresh this letter that we are to the world, that it may commend you to the whosoever and just show Jesus within. Answer our prayers. In Jesus' name we ask them. Amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.